the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against this order, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. We're here, 5x5 out there. We'll let you all know that we definitely have had some network problems today, and we've attempted to overcome them, and hopefully we have. We'll have this second hour undisturbed, and we've got Dr. Judy Wood with us. Her website is drjudywood.com. And you can go to her website, follow along with the photographs as she directs. I want to let you all know that she has a favorite little quote of mine on her website from Dr. Martin Luther King. Quote, "A time comes when silence is betrayal." And how right those words are, ladies and gentlemen. Silence is not on the side of justice. You've got to stand up. This is what's happened to America in the last 40 years. We've betrayed. We've been betrayed 100%. Now we've got warmongers in Washington, D.C., elitist Nazi family members from the 30s are now in power around the United States in different agencies. We're not getting the truth. The truth is being sequestered or moved over to the side. And even men and women that have been properly educated, only improperly educated, or not coming forth and talking about the truth, much like the 50 newspapers, primary newspapers in America, are being controlled by less than 5 men. We don't have the truth anymore. It's not being presented to us. It's all a show. It's all a feel-good. It's a 7-course dinner with a hot dog and a beer, a hot dog and a six-pack. And those of you that are more affluent, it's a 9-course dinner. 2 bottles of champagne, a 6-pack of beer, and a hot dog, or a hamburger, or a pizza. Welcome back, Dr. Woods. Let's continue on. You're right on point, and you've got me intrigued here with information that I cannot believe has been here and not discussed. Nobody's giving respect to Building 2 and Building 4, and they're gone.
Anything with a WTC prefix was destroyed.
Unreal.
Isn't that interesting?
All in the name of going to war.
Anyway, on the different pages, I focus on different phenomena. As you can see on this page, there's the beam bending and the bending around the wrong axis, the holes, and the peeling effect.
I have a question. I have a question, Dr. Woods, from one of the girls in San Diego. She's asking that in one of the figures, number 74, what happened to the debris as this building is falling? The top of the building looks like it's leaning 10 to 20 degrees, and yet what happened to the debris as it was falling? This is large chunks.
It's gone with the wind. It didn't hit the ground. And as we saw in those elevation maps, the ground just leveled, smooth down there. No building. And, Building 4 disappeared at that same time. And this tipping tips right over Building 4. And then 4 disappeared at that same time. As though whatever was in that volume of space just went poof into dust. And that area below where Building 4 was, that area is still fuming. Well, as of January, when I was there with Andrew Johnson, a friend of mine who came over from England, we went there and he videotaped the pooping out of the ground.
And we're talking about
putting dirt down, stirring it around, hauling it back out, a couple days later.
We're talking about January of this year, 2008?
Yes. So there's a problem, and that's presumably what is holding up construction. For example, Bankers Trust, that's the building across from Tower 2, across the street from Building 4, that big rectangular black building?
Yes, ma'am.
They have that big gas in the front?
Yes, ma'am.
With that crinkled up beam? That building, they replaced the beams that were torn out, and then they still had a problem. So they decided to take the building apart. And it's still being taken apart. And there's one problem after another. I don't think they can build on that land again.
Are they, you say you were there in January and they haven't started building, and yet they've got this proposed single story building to go up in that same location, but they've not done any work whatsoever to solidify the ground to build, make another building? Do you think
they haven't finished taking the building down yet? There's, Bankers Trust. It's still like halfway taken apart. The 40-story building, it has at least 20 stories left still.
Wow.
So it takes them 7 years to destroy a building?
It takes them 7 years to destroy a building, yet what happened to all the buildings on 9/11 where they just disappeared?
Yeah. But it takes them 7 years to take a building apart. And they only have it halfway taken apart so far.
So there's obviously, when you were there in January, there's a lot of area right downtown that around this area that businesses are not recovered. They're not back in business. They're gone.
Oh, when I was there last October, I'm talking about October 2007, on a bright sunny day, there's a traffic officer in a yellow rubber hazmat suit flagging traffic. People walking around in shorts and short sleeve shirts.
And what? This was in October in New York.
Yeah.
That's a cold month.
Go to JJ3, and from page 4, you can go to the very top and the very bottom, and there's a little menu bar, and you can go to JJ3.
I have a question coming in from Texas asking, what happened to the firefighters that lived through this, and why haven't they been able to discuss what you've been just talking about today?
Well, I've been commenting on what Rene Davila said, and he recently died. He died in May.
And he was, who was he?
He was the first responder, an emergency medical technician who was there, on 9/11, trying to help people.
Do you know how old he was?
Pardon me?
Do you know how old he was?
He looked fairly young. There's the pictures I saw of him. My guess is late 20s, early 30s.
And is there any description of how he died?
He had lung problems. He had, as far as I know, we tried to find him, we tried to get in touch with him, and the fire department wouldn't give us any information. This is for the past couple of years we've been trying to find him. They, kind of, here's our heroes who are fighting for us, to save people, who put their lives on the line, and they're just ignored. He lost his health insurance because, he was disabled because of this. Breathing in material that's coming apart isn't healthy for anybody.
No.
So if you're on the JJ3 page.
Ma'am? What did you say?
The JJ3 page.
The JJ3 page.
Yep. You'll see pictures here of the ongoing fuming. And there's a scientist who was describing the Hutchinson effect, saying if the mass is too low, then it may not be self-quenching. In other words, the process may continue without stopping. And I see wrapping it to zero and ongoing, and it's not stopping.
Remember yesterday when you were showing me
pictures of this fuming coming out of the ground.
Right. Now, when you... Dr. Woods, when you discussed, when we were discussing the people walking around yesterday, and there was a lot of, like, a little smoke, clouds coming up from people's feet, you remember that?
Yes.
Well, this cloud here that's in this... Right, this cloud here in picture 95 that you have here on JJ3, this looks like an explosion of that of those clouds that's coming up.
There's molten ground on the right in the middle is just fuming upwards.
Right, and this fuming cloud, this looks a lot like those clouds from the feet that were walking around. Only what was around the feet was small, and yet this is massive.
Yeah, this is a slightly different thing. This is it's not translucent. The other one, really particles floating. This looks like a gas.
Okay.
Maybe when you get closer, you could see it was funny.
Well, this looks like, see, I'm looking at, this is a, there's
now,
a...
figure 96, that's taken 6 months after 9/11, and they're hosing down, it's not a rainy day, but they're hosing on this flat, this truck bed, dumping stuff out of it, and it's fuming. Why are they hosing it down?
That's a good question.
You can see elsewhere it's not, the pavement isn't wet, but they're hosing it down, and you can see the roar of the, of the back of that truck.
Dr. Woods, what's interesting here is I'm seeing all of this, this fuming and this smoke, and yet I see paper everywhere still. And you're talking about, you know, these pictures are several months after 9/11, and yet the paper is still there. Is trash and it's not burning, and yet they're telling me that this place is still burning. There's a problem with this.
Say it's still burning. If you go down the page a little further to figure 100, that was taken June 2006.
Whoa!
You see that it's a mud puddle, and the fumes coming out of the mud puddle.
Whoa! You're talking about picture 100 and 101 and 102, and this is a non-rainy day, and I'm seeing water. I mean, this ground looks like it's been saturated, and yet it looks like somebody's got a fire going on. As a matter of fact, there is a ladder truck here spraying water over an area where a track digger is sitting. In 102.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Yeah, there's different sets of 101s and 100s. Oh, really? Yeah, I really need to get to the renumber of this page. Yeah, they're this is in October 2001. They're hosing down the fuming, and you can see, yeah, the dirt is saturated there. Below those diagrams, there's even more that's from recent times.
Were they doing this when you were there in January?
It's not quite as active, but if you look down at the next group of 100, 101, 102, it's below 211.
Right, the one that's got the track hoe there that's digging in the concrete. This place, it's got a concrete breaker on the end of it.
Right, and you notice it's in a mud puddle there.
Yes,
and the
correct.
One in the middle is in a mud puddle.
Correct.
It's very saturated, ground there.
Well, they got fire hoses. So that's a yellow fire hose laying there in the center of the picture. That's what I see.
And when they disturb this stuff, up will come these fumes. And 102, they fill up fresh, lush dirt. That's September 2007. All that dirt. And you look above there, and they have that same place hollowed out. But now, what's the dirt doing there? Fresh, like potting soil, and then they haul the dirt back out. There's figure 219 is a big, huge picture of from a helicopter.
That's what I was about to ask.
Red dirt, nice rich dirt.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Where did all this red dirt come from here? I see that, and I'm
this is a helicopter area. I mean, this whole area is devastated, and yet people are still traveling up and down the freeway over to the right.
Yeah, they're bringing dirt in, and the figure 3A, 3B, and 6, that set of 3. I'm standing there with Morgan Reynolds, and we're looking at the dirt pile. Brand new dirt they brought in on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I came back that Friday, and it's empty. It's been dug out. New batch of dirt. That same place, it's been hauled away.
The same dirt's been hauled off, or did they just spread it around?
Distributed, but then, you know, where does it go? Why is new dirt coming in? Why is old dirt leaving?
Uh-huh.
It's been almost 7 years now. The dirt's still coming and going.
Well, I've got a question here. I want to go back up to number 219. The building in the center, that's directly in the center of picture number 219, is that building leaning to the left, or is it
That's a big aerial view, and that's a cover for the PATH train tracks. They come over under the Hudson from the right. They come up, and they loop around. And that's where the PATH train station is. The fourth temporary, that's the third temporary PATH train. I can't keep track of them. There's at least four temporary PATH train terminals they've had so far.
So they're still operating trains underneath that, even though it looks like it leans to the left.
It's just how the picture is distorted.
Oh, the picture is distorted.
Well,
okay.
The picture is distorted. The wall isn't straight, between the big bathtub and the small bathtub.
Okay, I see. Okay.
This is a huge distance.
Okay.
The wall is not straight, and so the building is built around it. So it's not, the walls aren't supposed to be parallel there.
Now I've got a question down here at the bottom where you've got this number 15B going in 11 and 1. And I'm seeing water hose. I'm seeing the ground saturated with water, and all around. So, where are they getting all this water?
This is last fall. These three pictures we were taken on the 12th of October, and notice that the guy wearing the yellow rubber hazmat suit, and there's people with short sleeve shirts in the background. It's a sunny day.
Yeah.
In the middle, you see they're hosing out each other's boots.
Well, he's even got a suit. He's in full regalia here. He's covered head to toe, including the covering that goes over the head. He ought to be awful hot.
Yeah, this is not a rainy day. It's a blue sky.
Somebody would say to me, "Well, maybe it's cold." Well, it can't be very cold if there's a guy in the background in a short sleeve shirt.
Now, on 15B, that first one in the row,
uh-huh.
You see a guy back there hosing down the truck tires. They don't want to track any of that contaminated dirt out of there.
Yeah, I just noticed that. Yes. No kidding.
And they drove partway up the road. They stopped. Driver got out, and the new crew scooted over and took over the driving.
Now what's the reason?
I don't know. My guess is it's some kind of compartmentalization. So the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Okay. Now I have a friend of mine that is a fellow student in electronics with me, and he's IME, and he says the pictures that you have for 103 and 104. Look very distinctly like the Nikola Tesla effects from 1914 photographs. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, those pictures I got from John Hutchison.
Okay.
And I just picked those pictures because I could see fuming and the disintegration of materials.
Okay.
So, some sparks and some other things. When I put this series together, I was looking at the similarities, pictures that were similar, that similar phenomena. As you see right below those pictures, that's where they're building the fourth temporary pass train terminal.
Uh-huh.
And it's rusted before they have it built. As soon as they put the beams in, they're rusted. They come treated and coated. You know, why do they instantly rust?
That's
section below that is about Bankers Trust. That's the Deutsche Bank. That's the one that was right across from Tower 2. And you can notice you can't figure 111A, AAB, 112, 113, 2C. And those 2C, they have the front of that thing repaired. They repaired that gas. And then they start taking it apart. Now, why would they repair the building just to take it apart?
Obviously,
they
steel...
Where they had repaired it, and I call it furry rust. It just, it looks like it's been bombed the ocean for 100 years.
I was going to...
That figure 109?
Well, the figure in 109, I'm a steel man. I mean, I'm not a steel man, but I've been around a lot of steel. And this steel, if this is new steel, this steel looks like it's at least... 5 years old, been sitting out and been scraped, and the coating that is around steel, the oil coating, has been removed because this is rusted. This looks like something that's been in a building or been exposed to the light and the sun for 30 or 40 years, because steel doesn't normally look like that, especially new steel that's within 2 to 3 years.
And this appears to be the part of the building that was repaired. It's the same volume of space. It's bizarre. And then you wonder why they're taking it apart. And there's further, evidence of disintegrating fast train things. There's three pictures at the very bottom, 117, 118, 119. That's on, I guess it's the third temporary pass train terminal. And I took pictures in October and then again in January, and you can see it was disintegrating in that amount of time.
What pictures are we referring to?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
What pictures are we referring to?
Oh, the very last one at the bottom of the page is a row of three, 117, 118, and 119.
Okay, I got them.
This is of the third temporary pass train terminal that they built, and it's just... The beams are just rusting.
Now, this is something that's been built within the last year?
Maybe in the past couple of years.
Well, even a couple of years.
Maybe 2007 in June or July, or maybe 2006, one of those years.
Well, this rust, I mean, with a coating on steel like that it goes inside, I mean, this isn't exposed to the weather. This don't make sense, because I've looked at steel plates that are welded like this underneath viaducts on highways, and it doesn't look this bad.
Right. It looks like it's been at the bottom of the ocean for many years.
Well, what it really looks like, it looks like somebody took a sandblaster and blasted the coating off of it, and then allowed salt water to rest on it, and then dry out, and the rust is attacked at where the protective coating has been removed.
Right. So you can see there's a lot of interesting things when you start looking at what's going on there, and the dirt still comes and goes.
New dirt comes in, old dirt goes out, and they got a new driver that takes it out. That don't make a lot of sense, unless they're trying to hide something.
Yeah, and why do these dirt tracks come and go still? They're digging down to bedrock.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to go to page 2.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Dr. Judy, we got to take a break here on time, and we'll come back, ladies and gentlemen, to page 2. So hold that point. We'll be right back here, ladies and gentlemen, in just about 4 minutes, okay? This is Drew Raines with the American Disposition Hour with Dr. Judy Wood. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. DrJudyWood.com.
Like a snowball in a mountain or a car. like a carousel is turning, running rings around the moon. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its day. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space. Like the circles that you find in the windows of your mind.
Fearful over the latest outbreak of deadly viruses? Boost your immunity with professional French herbs when antibiotics and vaccines won't work. Wage war against bacteria and viruses and pulverize them with our professional strength concentrated immune-boosting formulas from Apothecary Herbs. Strengthen your cells, prevent the spread of infections, increase circulation, improve digestion, and boost your immune system tenfold. Money-back guarantee on every product we sell at Apothecary Herbs. Call now toll-free 866-229-3663 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Mention Voice of Freedom and receive a free sample of our organic Heart Smart Salt. Don't wait. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength herbs that work. 866-229-3663 or online at www.thepowerherbs.com. The rising cost of living and especially food have the experts worried and advising every family to have at least 6 to 9 months worth of emergency food and water on hand. A good supply of emergency food is dehydrated, easy to store, and does not require cooking. Stand-up dehydrated food pouches are an excellent choice and are also portable for your emergency bug-out pack. Just open a vacuum-sealed pouch, add water, stir, and eat a tasty, protein-rich entree from the stand-up pouch. If you want a hot meal, use the reusable flameless oven. Order the best dehydrated emergency food on the market now. Call Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Be prepared with dehydrated stand-up food pouches with a 10-year shelf life. You'll be glad you did. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Are you prepared for your future? The cost and availability of food and medicine in the near future is uncertain. Why hope things will get better when you can decide now? Stock up on emergency food and medicine, which has a 10-year shelf life. Dehydrated food in stand-up pouches are complete meals, lightweight and easy to store. A year's supply of herbal medicine and your power herb kits are essential to your first aid needs with fast-acting, professional strength formulas, all at Apothecary Herbs. Don't wait for whom the bell tolls. Get prepared now while you can. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or online at thepowerherbs.com. Order your power herb kits, your supply of herbal medicine, and emergency dehydrated food now. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here 5x5 around the world. This is the American Disquisition Hours, heard live on the Wind Talkers Network. Independent, completely independent micro broadcasters and FM broadcasters around the world, owned and operated by former United States Marines, United States Navy personnel, Australian Marines, as well as New Zealand Marines, that have united together to get the truth out that you're not being told about, and they've got their own little network radio stores going on, and they've basically asked me to stand in and bring forth what is from the United States. We're here 24/7 on your local FM or micro broadcast station that you're listening to, and if you're in the United States, we broadcast this show on the phone bridge through Skype, and the phone bridge number is found on my website, amd.el. That's Echo Lima, amd.echolimaequity.com. You get the website, you can always find us there. We unite together with these independent broadcasters because the truth isn't getting out there unless it's controlled by Patriots for Profits. And we want you to know that there are men and women around the world that don't believe in Patriots for Profits. They believe in getting the truth out there. They want you to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and not the misrecital and the misrepresentations of what's going on. And right here in our own informational freedom networks, our own Patriot Networks of America, we have a cloud of smoke over the truth. They're feeding us lies, you know, amongst the truth that we have. And today's guest is Dr. Judy Wood, and her website's the three W's, drjudywood.com. And we are discussing phenomenon that aren't being discussed on mainstream, that aren't being advised of by your talk show host on other networks, and it's being sequestered off the side even by other physicists that think they're in the Informational Freedom Network, but they've got this attitude that, well, you know, this lady's off the rocker, or Dr. Hutchison is off his rocker because he's not part of the mainstream physicist group. Well, I beg to differ. We've got a problem in America when they're going to put up a man for office as to run for the presidency of the United States who has questionable relations with the fact of where he was born. And a lawsuit has been filed in Pennsylvania. It is on the website, the three W's, amd.echolimaequity.com. Right there, you can pull the lawsuit. You can pull the what is referred to as the docket sheet for the lawsuit up until last night. And you can see what's been filed against Barack Obama. And other lawsuits are coming down the chute. Well, I want to know where the backbones of you guys are on filing lawsuits for hiding the truth about what happened on 9/11. Dr. Woods has got this. Dr. Wood has this information. She's very succinctly is bringing it forward and opening my eyes more closely to what I've read on my own. And I'm quite candid, guys. I had no clue some of this information was so devastating. This is like the firecracker turning into C4. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Wood. I'd like for you to continue, please. We've got just about 20 minutes left.
Hey, thanks. We're on JJ2, on page 2 of the anomalies of the WTC and the Hutchison effect. And at the top is a picture of weird-looking fire. And what attracted me to this is the weird fires we saw all around, you know, Ground Zero area, all around the World Trade Center complex. Cars spontaneously combusting, or apparently, this weird toasting phenomenon. And then if you come down the page, there's a video of that John Hutchison took of this toy boat. He was trying to reproduce the Philadelphia experiment, see what happens there, and had this, you know, toy boat on the water. It was moving around. The water was, you know, rising up. But what was really peculiar is this fire that just roamed around the boat. What was burning? And there's no paper on the boat even. It's not burning. And then right below that, I have screenshots of a video right around Ground Zero where this weird fire is dancing around this car. And this was 15 minutes before the first tower went poof. So both towers had holes in them by then, but neither tower, both towers are still standing. Neither tower had gone away yet. And you had these just weird fires. You don't see much smoke coming off this fire. You see, you know, this fire dancing around between the cars and, you know, popping up and going away. It's not like there's something that's burning.
What actual picture are you looking at?
This is figure 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Okay, these are at the top of the page.
We're near the top.
Near the top. I have some questions. Some people got lost.
Okay.
So okay.
Start down the page. It's, you know, kind of near the top, and you have that row of the ship pictures. And later you can, you know, after the show ends, you can play the video and, you know, watch what happens with the boat. It's this boat that's just jumping around in the water. But the fire is what I've noticed about it. And at the World Trade Center, the same thing. I've got a video of the fire jumping around the cars. And there's also this spontaneous combustion. Now, that brings us down to these other pictures, figure 21 and 22. The firefighters just walking through this fire. They're not worried about the pant legs catching on fire. They could easily walk around it. Why are they walking through it?
Now, this amazes me. They're walking through the fire like they don't even see it. It's not like it's burning them at all.
Right. It's a non-issue. It's like maybe it's just that the paper is glowing. You know, is the aluminum glowing?
Aluminum will burn, but the paper won't. This doesn't make a lot of sense, Dr. Wood.
What's going on here? And that color, you know, implies what the temperature is, and aluminum melts at that temperature, but it's not melted here. So you start wondering, you know, if it really is hot. And right below those pictures, I have figures 23, 24, 25, 26. They're vehicles that are burning, or appear burning, but the paper isn't burning. So this weird fire issue, there's some issues of, you know, it looks like fire. And then we come to what I call the Tito picture, where this earth-moving equipment that picks up something that's glowing. Well, if it picks it up, it can't be melted yet, but that color indicates, you know, like 1,000 degrees centigrade or higher. If it were that hot, why are the hydraulics still working? And I've got a table showing, you know, hydraulic working temperature, and 100 degrees centigrade is about as high as it goes. Yeah, you know, above 100 degrees centigrade, you don't operate hydraulics. So, what's going on in that picture? Is the picture fake or is it real? First, I thought it was fake until I realized that is another characteristic of the Hutchinson effect, or Tesla stuff, where things glow without heat.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Glows without heat.
Yes, it's not hot.
Now that's an interesting concept. I've never heard something that says glows like heat.
It glows as though it's hot, but it's not associated with high temperature. And you know that picture of John Hutchinson's with the wood embedded in the aluminum?
Uh-huh.
Why didn't the wood burn up?
Right.
How do you have those blue and red folders in the file cabinet that's called crinkled up at the World Trade Center? The paper would have burned up if it was hot.
Okay. One of the stations out there, you got your phone ringing into my Skype ear, so hopefully we'll have that taken care of.
There.
Are you still there, Dr. Judy?
Yep, still here.
Okay.
So that gives you the idea of a lot of characteristics that are similar.
Uh-huh.
Now, how does John create his effect? Well, he interferes different types of energy. Different radio frequency and and electrostatic and so forth. Some people can use Tesla coils. Well, that brings us to the weather anomalies. Saying at the top of this page, at the bottom of this page, you see what says Aaron and field effects? Aaron and field?
Uh-huh.
Very top or very bottom of the page, for page one, you can, there's a little menu that, on the left side, a blue box.
Right.
Did the page come up for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you see a big hurricane there.
Okay, I've got an IM here from somebody else that's lost that they popped up on my screen. I don't see a hurricane.
Go to the home page. And from the home page, go down to the next row where it says 9/11 weather anomalies and field effects. It's below the Hutchinson series, and you'll see a whole bunch of pictures there. Right above the news section, and go to the far left side where it says index. There you see a hurricane thumbnail.
You're talking. I'm letting you talk, Dr. Wood, because I know where you're at. Now the girls are the ones that are lost.
Okay, I hope they've gotten it. So again, from the homepage, which is drjudywood.com, you go down to, you have all the blocks of pictures. So the last row, and you see hurricanes there. Click on the far left set. One is fine. It'll take you to the index for this new series. And what I was looking at the fuming and wanting better pictures of where the fuming went, and I noticed that the white fuming went up and south, and the black fuming went west over the Hudson. How can that be? You have two different colors of fumes, and they go just two different directions. So I wanted to get a better satellite image to see just what all was happening. And then, oh my gosh, I get this picture. What's this hurricane doing right outside in New York City on 9/11? Yeah, you know, right off the end of Long Island.
And this is known as Hurricane Aaron of that time. So ladies and gentlemen, those of you that have any knowledge on doing research on through the National Geographic Service, you can find these pictures on your own. This isn't fabricated. This isn't pictures that's been brought up from some looky-loo. And what I noticed, Dr. Wood, is the center of these the center of Hurricane Aaron is square. It's not circular.
Well, it has. It looks like a maze in there, people use hedges for mazes. It kind of looks like that, like a bunch of worms winding around. This
Looks
right.
Well, in one picture, it looks like it's, you know, it looks like there's a lot of worms, but the main eye is not circular. It's like a square. It's like a rectangle. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I don't pay a whole lot of attention about that shape, but it's because. You know, I wonder about the angle and so forth of the image, but it does look like it's a pentagon, even.
Right. Now,
the shape is kind of angular.
Now, in the pictures that I'm looking,
this is a summary of what.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hello.
I'm here.
This is of the different pages. And what's on the different pages, we can jump down to where number three, you see a car on a fence, and you see a board through a tree.
Right.
Anything unusual there? How does that car get on the fence?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, what's this? This is like a car that's been lifted up and put on a fence, but there's been no explosion.
And the car doesn't look scratched up. It didn't tumble. It's not damaged up. It didn't tumble through the air. I would say it's a good bet that that's there through Levitin. Now, we've been taught that when we see hurricanes and tornadoes, and then after the storm's done with, you see a car sitting on a tree or a telephone pole or whatever, we're told it's the suction or the wind pulled it up and set it there. But if the wind is so violent, why isn't that car dented up from tumbling around? And I started looking for more of those pictures, and golly, you know, that one with the board through the tree, that's from Hurricane Andrew.
That's not a board, that's a piece of plywood. Dr. Wood, that is a piece of plywood, not a board.
Right, there's another one that's a picture of an actual tube before.
Okay, well, that I'm on a slow dial-up, and that page still hasn't loaded up yet.
Oh, okay. I'm on the index page still.
Okay. I'm on the page that's Hurricane Aaron, September 11, 2011. I might be on the wrong page.
It says, you know, the introduction.
Hang on, I've lost my mic. Go ahead and talk, Mr. Doctor. I've lost my mic here.
Any of the Aaron pages, at the top or the bottom, there's a little menu, and you can click on the index for Hurricane Aaron. And that'll take you to the index. You can get kind of a general overview of what's on various pages. And number three is what we're talking about, where it has a picture of a piece of plywood through the tree, and then it has a picture of a car sitting on a fence. And right below that is, on the right is a Tesla coil, and on the left is a tornado that looks a lot like that Tesla coil. It turns out hurricanes have the same kind of structure. You'll see that, you know, the top part of the hurricane is spinning around, and then there's always a stem that goes up around the eye. So it's like a huge recoil. And then I have magnetometer data that shows the Earth's magnetic field had abrupt changes in it with each one of the events that happened in New York City, 11. Where the tower got its hole, people say when the plane hit it, but when it got its hole, you could see there's an energy buildup leading up to
explain again what this graph is. This isn't a seismograph of the ground.
The Earth's magnetic field.
This is the magnetic field of the Earth. This isn't has anything to do with the ground lay, Jasper. This is a graph lay of the magnetic field.
The strength of the magnetic field going north-south, going east-west, and going up-down. And if you click on that, well, we'll go to that. See where it says number 5 magnetometer data? If you click on that, we'll go to the page 5.
Right, and I've got a picture of the hurricane.
Okay, and you scoot down the page, and you see the six stations.
I've got Alaska, and then I've got the six state. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
And as you see the table that shows when WTC1 gets its hole, when WTC2 gets its, each one of the other events, you can look at the time, and then go down past those tables, and you come to some long yellow tables, H1, D1, and Z1. That's this Earth's magnetic field, up, down, left, right, and in and out of the planet. Those three directions. Leading up to 9/11, it's about 4 days worth of data, but you see those vertical stripes about 2 feet across?
Yes, ma'am.
Those are each of the events that happened in the morning of 9/11. That green vertical line a little bit later, that's when Building 7 proof. So you see there's some noise and changes in the magnetic field, a little blips here and there and there and there, and then boom, something happens right when those towers are going poof. And below that is more zoomed in. You go to the blue tables, that's figure 13, 14, and 15. You can see in the first one, in H2, or figure 13, right where you get into that vertical blue line, dark blue line, that's when the North Tower gets its hole. look at the, what's happening to the, these chart readings leading up to that. You start taking this nosedive down.
They're below the baseline.
Right, and then the North Tower gets its hole, and then it starts abruptly going up. It's the bottom of that little chevron V.
Uh-huh.
And it changes direction. A signal changes, or changes strength abruptly when the North Tower gets its hole. And then it goes up, and it levels off right when the South Tower gets its hole.
Right.
This is the Earth's magnetic field was changing abruptly when those holes appeared in the two towers. And then when the towers went poof, look what happened.
I have an IM here from Austin, Texas, asking the question, the simple question is, where did this data come from?
This came from, you can click on the website where it actually comes from, University of Alaska Magnetometer Lab.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you can go there and collect your own data.
Now, this information is freely available to anybody who wants to get it, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Woods, we've got about 4 minutes. I want you to just give an outlay of what, in your own words, the next 4 minutes. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to ask a question. I want you to give me 4 minutes of a wrap-up for the last 2 days. And I've got a favor. Would you mind coming back for 1 hour tomorrow after my first hour show? This would be at 1 o'clock your time. And do a wrap up of the last 2 days and the last 4 hours that we've discussed these phenomena.
I'd love to. And
okay.
Also give folks a chance to look over all this information.
Correct.
See what questions they have.
And you guys out there, you can email me, ask questions, have them prepared, and we'll see what we can do. Now you only got 3 minutes now, so give a wrap up, please, ma'am.
Okay. What we have here, you know, we see that something is changing in the Earth's magnetic field abruptly at the times when something is happening at the World Trade Center. And, you know, we can call it coincidence, but it's mighty odd coincidence that the signals were calm up to that moment and they went, you know, haywire. We also know at that same time, we cover some of that data tomorrow, is Hurricane Aaron creates a field around the hurricane, not right directly under the hurricane, but some distance out. And that field is like a Tesla coil, electrical field, and you interfere different fields of energy to get the Hutchinson effect. So it appears that this could be a supersizing of that same phenomenon, like a huge Tesla coil mixed with something else, and I think there might even be a different energy that gives it the direction. Like wherever you have these two fields interfering and you beam some particular energy in a particular place, there you have a hole or whatever happens. So there's some mighty interesting phenomenon, and it has been reproduced by John Hutchison. We see a whole lot of parallels there that really should be looked into much more. One thing we do know is that on 9/11, something horrendous happened. And why don't we use it for good instead of evil purposes? It's free energy. And you know, folks ask why John Hutchison hasn't patented his work, because he believes it should be free energy, literally free. Free to everyone. It belongs to all of us, like this planet does. And so it is upon all of us to protect it as well. So I encourage you to look at each of these theories, and each page focuses on different phenomena, and then see how it all fits together. It's so tempting to want to just jump to the answer, but the answer can't be understood until you understand each of the building blocks to it. And that's how I approach this. was looking at the data. Once you study the data, it tells you what the answer is.
Okay, Dr. Wood, I'm gonna take this last 45 seconds. I want to thank you very much for putting up with this, the Wind Talkers Network and the problems that we have on these attacks. I'm going to do my more due diligence on this and look into these to have personal questions for tomorrow. And I want to let you know that we're praying for your safety as well as we want to get this information out to the masses. Are you and Dr. Hutchins, are y'all being attacked in any way? You only got 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of folks who are, as we speak, I've been having some emails come in calling me all sorts of horrible names from particular characters. But they say that the flak is always the strongest when you're over the target.
Exactly.
So confirming that we're over the target.
Exactly. Understood. All right, we're breaking off to my normal side out feed, and Dr. Woods, we will see you tomorrow afternoon about 1:03 your time. Is that okay, Dr. Woods? I can hear you. All right. We will see you tomorrow. We will see you tomorrow afternoon at about 1:03 your time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my show for today. This is Drew Rain signing off for the American Disquisition Hour. May all your prayers be answered. And remember, the truth is out there. You just have to research it and find it. We will come forward with the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's there if you will look for it. I promise you, we've just got to find out where it is all at with the truth. The radio show is going to be breaking away, and they'll be playing their other feeds for the old-time radio after the commercials and the break. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the American Disquisition Hour today. Bobby, that's not my sign-out music.
This comes through a hole in the air from those nasty